Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the Brian Lehrer Show podcast. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but everything we do is available on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
The privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities. We're not mining or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
President Bush speaking last week, but was he telling the truth there? Is the government mining the calls of millions of Americans or trolling through them? Republican Senator and presidential hopeful Chuck Hagel of Nebraska and Democratic Senator Joe Biden both said on ABC this week, yesterday, and of course Biden's a Democratic presidential hopeful too, that they'll be looking for answers when Michael Hayden, who's behind the phone call program, has his confirmation hearings to be CIA director this week. Hagel first.
Well, there's no question that his confirmation is going to depend upon the answers he gives regarding activities of NSA. General Hayden, who, by the way, I support, I think is a consummate professional. I trust him.
Rather than come to us and tell us how to amend the law to provide for them being able to do what they want to do, they go ahead and just go ahead without any congressional oversight of any consequence and without court oversight. And look, and they basically say, trust us. And this administration has a pattern of excess from its attitude toward torture to prisoners, toward treaties.
Interesting to note there that Biden didn't exactly oppose the program, did he? And basically offered to amend the law to facilitate it. We'll come back to that. But as for Hayden himself, here is his first pass at defending the program as it is.
Everything that the agency has done has been lawful. It's been briefed to the appropriate members of Congress that the only purpose of the agency's activities is to preserve the security and the liberty of the American people. And I think we've done that.
Later this week, when Hayden has his confirmation hearings, I'm sure we'll carry it live. But here, saying the same thing, but in much starker terms, is former House Speaker Newt Gingrich yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
The idea that we're going to say to the United States government, for libertarian reasons, we'd rather lose a city than have you gather data, I think is totally out of touch with the danger of the modern world.
And with all of that, we begin the week as we usually do, talking Monday morning politics. Our guests this week are the creators of two of the most widely read progressive blogs, Marcos Melita Zuniga of DailyCoast.com and Jerome Armstrong of MyDD.com. DD stands for Direct Democracy. Together, they have written a book challenging the Democratic Party establishment. It's called Crashing the Gate: Netroots, Grassroots, and the Rise of People-Powered Politics, published by Chelsea Green. Marcos, welcome back. Jerome, I think this is your first time, so welcome.
Thank you.
To the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks, Brian.
And as you see it, Marcos, was the president telling the truth in that first clip? Are they mining the calls of Americans?
Well, I can't see how you could describe it any other way. You don't collect information and calls of tens of millions of Americans and say that it is targeted and directed at only those people that may have potential ties to Al-Qaeda, because I sincerely doubt that this many Americans have ties to Al-Qaeda, because if they do, we're in real trouble.
Well, what he says is they're looking at these patterns, but then they're only digging down on anybody who looks like they may be calling Al-Qaeda.
Well, they're keeping this information in these massive databases. They're collecting it and they're storing it. It's not a question of trying to find patterns. It's a question of having this massive database with all our calls. And from a practical standpoint, we're collecting so much information that you got to wonder, how are they going to sift through tens of millions of phone calls to drill down to the good stuff, as opposed to really trying to focus on people who have demonstrated potential links to Al-Qaeda?
Jerome, in response to that Newt Gingrich clip at the end where he compared the risks of losing a city to the risks of tolerating this. Should Americans be up in arms over having their phone companies provide this kind of data?
That's the Republican tactic of raising the specter of fear in order to get their way. And what's remarkable is that, yeah, there isn't a lot of coverage of the oppositional view here of, you know, why did they go through this in the first place without oversight?
Why did they go through this without oversight? But the Joe Biden clip was very revealing, perhaps about the mainstream Democratic Party position versus what may be your wing of the party's position. He didn't say don't do it. He said, quote, come to us and tell us how to amend the law to provide for them, unquote. That's exactly from the clip we just played.
Yeah.
So is this where the Biden wing of the party and the Coast DD wing of the party start to diverge, Jerome?
Well, it does sort of remind me of the run-up to the Iraq war and the vote that we had there. Just ask for our permission, then you get it, and it's blank card check to begin with. So you wonder why he didn't come and ask to begin with, Bush. I mean, they would have said yes.
Marco, same question.
Yeah. We heard this, you know, the Newt Gingrich argument. We heard this, of course, during the run-up to the Iraq war. Do we want a mushroom cloud over an American city, right? This fear-mongering and this effort to really scare people into allowing intrusions into their personal and private rights and space. And in essence, basically saying the law does not apply to us as long as we pretend that we're trying to keep America safe. We've seen with the Dubai port deal that this administration has no interest in keeping America safe. They're interested in keeping power, and they're going to do whatever it takes to do that.
Should the Democratic Party stand up and say no to this, as opposed to standing up and saying, we wish you would have asked Congress for permission because we would have given it to you?
Well, there's an irony in that some of the most pointed criticism of this program is coming from Republicans themselves, because Democrats are so afraid that, well, if we look weak on national defense, that's going to hurt us, and so we're going to concede on every ground, whether it is Iraq or spying illegally on Americans or Iran. We're going to concede because this way it's not going to hurt us politically. What it does is it makes them look weak and without any kind of moral grounding.
You know, Newt Gingrich there, that was really interesting when he called out the libertarians, because that's a pretty strong wing of the Republican Party, and I think that really shows an opening for the Democrats to go after those libertarians.
And I noticed in the introduction to your book, you refer to libertarians as a group that's starting to get uncomfortable with some of the directions of the Republican Party, though that doesn't get much press.
Mm-hmm.
Want to expand on that?
Sure. And how it relates especially is in the Mountain West areas, where we went to Colorado, Montana, did a lot of research there. And there is an impulse there of repulsion to the amount of expansion that the Bush administration has done with this government. And this is only one of many areas in regards to personal freedoms that have been cut back.
Do you want to open up the phones on the data mining or trolling or not mining or trolling, depending on your point of view? And I wonder what you think of this. And if you're leaning, if you're a Democrat or if you lean toward the Democratic Party in your politics, what do you think the Democrats should do? Should they do what Joe Biden did and say, please come to us and ask us for permission because we'll give it to you? Or should the Democrats oppose this? There really haven't been many Democratic voices saying no to the whole so-called warrantless wiretapping program. They've been saying, let us facilitate this. What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For my guests from MyDD.com and DailyCoast.com and authors of the book Crashing the Gate, 212-433-WNYC. And Phil in Queens, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning. I really was offended. There are two attorneys down in New Jersey who filed a lawsuit against the phone companies. I'm in the process of drafting a letter to my phone company, Verizon, saying, basically releasing them from any civil liability for any order that they receive or request from the CIA, from the Pentagon, from the president. I think it's a very impersonal program that's being run. It's worked. Different programs like this, I'm not a technician, things like operations research projects help win World War II. The Battle of Midway was won on an operations research project of deciding where the Japanese were going to be at a certain moment. They're running billions or trillions of numbers. It's very impersonal. I think the government certainly needs to do more. We need to check more containers coming in. We need to check containers at the source. But the fact that we're doing something, you know, the liberal and the liberal media just, you know, complains one way or the other. If Bush walked on water, the liberal press would say Bush can't swim, and I think it's disgusting.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Jerome.
Yeah. Do you have any problem at all with Bush not asking for congressional oversight of this?
I have no problem whatsoever.
Jesus.
Well, because don't say just say Jesus.
I'm a McGovern liberal. I've become a long Democratic tradition of FDR and McGovern and Hubert Humphrey, and it was an advanced man for Jimmy Carter, and I worked for Mo Udall, and I worked for the first Clinton race.
I have no problem.
Things have to be done in secret. I'm reading a book.
Hang on, Phil, I'm going to leave it there because we have a lot of calls and not that much time. But, Jerome, if you were in Congress, and we should say that you're working for the presidential campaign of Mark Warner right now, consulting it, if you were in Congress and the president came to you and say, okay, here's what we want to do and describe this program as we understand it so far, would you tend to vote no?
Well, that's the problem. As we understand it so far, we really have no understanding here of what is going on. They haven't went to Congress and given the ability for them to fulfill their duties, which is oversight of this administration. And the balance of the separation of powers is something that's at the heart of this country, and it's something that they're bypassing.
Yeah, even in World War II, I mean, sure, we won World War II in large part because of intelligence operations, but there was congressional oversight. We never have had a government in this country that has said that we don't care what Congress says, we can do whatever we want. We'll even sign laws. We'll sign 700 laws from Congress and put a signing statement saying, we don't care what this law says, we're going to keep doing whatever we want. This is not a dictatorship. This is not a monarchy. This is a constitutional republic, and we have certain laws, and we have to follow those laws.
By the way, I noticed on one of your sites, I think it was Daily Coast, that there's an ad for Working Assets, the alternative phone company, that it's already picking up on this. We didn't cooperate. We wouldn't cooperate with the government. Do you think that activists are going to take this to the phone companies? I haven't heard anybody stand up yet and say, you know, cancel your AT&T phone service or something like that. You think that's coming?
Oh, it's happening. And in fact, Quest Communications is getting a lot of good press because they were actually one of the companies that said, no, our legal team looked at this. It is not legal. We don't see the legal benefits of it. So we're not going to cooperate. So a lot of people are saying, if you can, change to Quest because they will protect your personal privacy.
As a political
I'm with Working Assets. I encourage other people to be as well.
Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I always come down to the question of how much we want to destroy our country to save it. And I think we're getting to that point where we're restricting we're allowing the executive branch to do what amounts to basically a secret government, a secret service, a KGB.
So the president might say, if you're not calling Al-Qaeda, you have nothing to fear from this.
Well, how are millions of phone calls associated with terrorists in this country? I mean, just the very number itself is kind of ridiculous.
Tens of millions.
Yeah, and if there are that many here...
They're just looking to see if you're calling known terrorist phone numbers, they would say.
Well, but you know what? Supposing I make a wrong number. You know, aren't these guys using these untraceable cell phones anyway? I mean, at what point do we say to the administration, enough is enough? I live in the city. I'm scared of a dirty bomb, but I'm not going to allow it to destroy the country.
Steve, thank you for your call. AJ, also in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I actually have two comments, then I'll hang up and listen. I am no big fan of this administration, did not vote for them either time, and I think really that they're doing some things that are inappropriate. But I disagree with your guess on two points, and one, and maybe with you as well. One, I think Biden took the right tact yesterday. He put the onus on them, on the administration, to come to Congress. We will work with you, but you have to come to Congress. I think that was the right way to go, to show that the Democrats also do care about national security, and they will work with the administration, but it's the administration that's refusing to work with Congress.
And, Steve, we have to break in 15 seconds, so what's your other one?
And number two, I think comments like this administration doesn't care about protecting the American people, irresponsible comments. They're doing some things that are not right, but to say they don't care about the American people is to villainize them the way the Republicans did in the 90s with Clinton.
All right.
It's Michael Moore debating Rush Limbaugh.
We'll come back and get Jerome Armstrong's and Marcos Melitzis's reactions to that, play some more clips from the Sunday shows, and keep talking Monday morning politics.
They can't possibly put together a contract with America because Howard Dean and Nancy Pelosi and their allies are all so far to the left. They can't be clear what they would do, raise taxes, create more big bureaucracy, have a much weaker system of defending America, and just go down the list.
Newt Gingrich on Meet the Press yesterday as we continue to begin the week as we usually do, talking Monday morning politics this week with the creators of two of the most widely read progressive blogs, Marcus Miletus of DailyCoast.com and Jerome Armstrong of MyDD.com, and together they have written an old media document known as a book challenging the Democratic Party establishment. It's called Crashing the Gate, Netroots, Grassroots, and the Rise of People-Powered Politics, published by Chelsea Green. By the way, they have a number of events in the city. Jerome's from the D.C. area. Marcus is from Berkeley, so they're not around here very much, and they have a number of events in the next couple of days while they're here at the think tank Demos at noon today, at the Personal Democracy Forum third annual conference at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's in the city, at a couple of bars around. Willie McBride's in Hoboken at 7 o'clock tonight at the Pioneer Bar in Manhattan, 5:30 tomorrow. Man, you guys are doing it retail, huh? Bar to bar?
You know, it seemed like a really great idea when we were planning the book tour. Now we're kind of wondering, what did we get ourselves into? But we're loving it.
And you can see, if you're interested in these guys, the schedule at their book website, which is crashingthegate.com. So let's address the caller's 2 points from before the break. One, strategically, Marcos, Joe Biden is doing the right thing. He's making the president come to them.
Well, strategically, it might make sense. We know from a more practical standpoint that this administration doesn't care, first of all, to even go to Congress. And even if they do, they'll do these signing statements saying, well, we don't agree with this law. We're not going to follow it. So they've shown nothing but contempt for Congress in the 5-6 years that they've been in power. So great, have Bush come to Congress, but then have the spine as a one of the branches of government to make sure that George Bush follows the letter of the law, which they haven't done so far.
And Jerome, I don't remember who it was, whether it was one of you or whether it was a previous caller who said the president doesn't care about security in the United States.
Right.
But then AJ's other point was, look, this is no way to win over the American people because, you know, agree with him or not on his tactics, he certainly cares about the security of the American people.
Well, the larger issue here is can Democrats talk tough with the Republicans? You know, the Republicans will do anything that it takes to win the elections, and for all too often, the Democrats will sidestep the really hard attacks because they, for some reason or another, think that the public are going to react harshly to it. But the truth is, we have to step up and combat these people. If they're in the gutter, we're going to have to get down there and fight them.
And you heard what Newt Gingrich said there in that clip we played coming back, which is what a lot of Republicans will say between now and Election Day. Democrats can't put together an equivalent of a contract with America, the Gingrich policy agenda that helped the Republicans take Congress in 1994, because you will necessarily raise taxes, create more bureaucracy, and weaken the defenses of America. And he invoked the names of Nancy Pelosi and Howard Dean. So where do you begin to respond, Marcus?
You know, they sound really desperate at this point. The American people have clearly realized that the Republican Party cannot govern. If you go down issue by issue, from Social Security to taxes, to even to national defense, people, the American people now stand with the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is the majority party. It is in the, you know, I don't know if I believe in the center, but the American people believe in democratic values and democratic issues. And so they're going to have to resort to a lot of fear tactics in order to try to not lose as badly as they will this November.
But this gets to a central question, I think, for the Democrats right now, because you're talking about them being in the gutter. You're talking about them not being able to govern. We know what you're against, right-wing and corporatist Republican government. But what are you for? Gingrich can, you know, smack it down to those few catchphrases for his side: lower taxes, smaller government, stronger defense. Jerome, can you do something like that for yours?
Well, that was really the heart of the book here when we first started out, was the Democrats lack this central message. We lack this branding. And obviously the Republicans have it, even though they might not be faithful to it. So how do we get to the point where the Democrats all can work together on this thing? We didn't write about that in the book because we're not the politicians that are going to carry that forward. What we addressed was the more strategic problems, that the tactical problems that the party and the problems that the party has, and getting to those solutions before we can even get to that point of readdressing the message.
on the different wings of the Democratic Party, I wonder what Hillary Clinton represents to you. Here is a clip from Fox News founder and general conservative media tycoon Rupert Murdoch on ABC This Week saying why he, of all people, is holding a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton.
I think she's been a good senator. We don't agree on a lot of things, of course, but she's going to get reelected. Here, there's no opposition, there's no Republican Party in New York State any longer, it would seem. I think, you know, she's doing very well for us. And for, I'm talking parochially for New York State.
Rupert Murdoch, pragmatist. There is no Republican Party anymore functionally in New York State. She's going to get reelected, he said. That's Rupert Murdoch, pragmatist, I guess, battling with Rupert Murdoch ideologue, if such exists. How do you react to that, Jerome?
It did sound pretty pragmatic. I hope he's right. I hope there is no Republican Party left in New York. I'll take that.
Yeah. But what about the Hillary Clinton side of that deal? Should she accept money from Rupert Murdoch?
Well, you know, part of the reason why we wrote this book was with an independent publisher was so that we didn't have to give money to Rupert Murdoch. We did it through Chelsea Green, which is a small independent publisher up in Vermont instead.
Yeah, you know, he's got to give his money to somebody. And since there is no Republican Party, I mean, he might as well give it to Hillary. You know, there's a lot of this talk about the wings of the Democratic Party. And there's a concerted effort of people by people to try to paint us as these left-wing extremists in the blogs. Fact is that there really isn't any more real wings of the Democratic Party. What we have is insiders versus outsiders. And so if you go to places like Daily Kos, there's not a lot of love for Nancy Pelosi because she's seen as an insider. She's a liberal Democrat, sure, but we're not necessarily, like I said, we're not, you know, ideological in that sense. We want outsiders who want to clean out D.C. because D.C. is a cesspool. The Republicans are a disaster, and the Democrats have utterly failed to present any kind of real opposition. So we want a clean house.
My guests on WNYC are Marcos Melitzas, who was just speaking, founder of DailyKos.com, and Jerome Armstrong, founder of MyDD.com, and together they have written a book called Crashing the Gate. Jerome, you wanted to say?
Well, in contrast, you can look at somebody like Howard Dean, who's very popular on the blogs, and the reason why is because he is fundamentally changing the direction of the Democratic Party to return to being a national party again. We're rebuilding the organization throughout the 50 states, and that ultimately is where the message of, you know, the people getting into the party again is where that's going
to
come from.
And I know that a lot of what you have to say in the book is strategic. Like, you point to how successful the Republicans have been at building conservative education and outreach and training centers around the country, that the Democrats and the liberals haven't done that over the last few decades, that you want to take it to all 50 states, not concede any part of the country to any Republican, as you did, Jerome, by signing on with Mark Warner, who, as a Democrat, won the governorship of Virginia. But let me get clear on something, because you say in the book that you don't so much disagree with the vision of the party establishment Democrats. Your main differences are over how not to play it like they were still in power, like in the 70s and 80s in Congress, and to not be afraid of change, which you think they are. But then again, you have a chapter in your book called Civil War, the first section, The Dean Machine. So is it civil war or is it something less?
Well, what happened was we definitely started outside, but the next chapter goes inside the gate because we elected Howard Dean to the DNC chair. The stretch from 2003 to 2004, though, was really a civil war within this party. Howard Dean and his insurgency candidacy challenged the very establishment of the Democratic Party. Ultimately, he lost that primary battle, but we won the DNC chair after Kerry lost the election.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we've come a long way. I mean, we were a joke. We were nobody. Who were we? A bunch of bloggers sitting out in the hinterlands talking about politics, and the grown-ups and the big boys here in D.C., and they know better than anybody else. And little by little, we've been chipping away at that notion. I mean, most bloggers are people with JDs and PhDs. You know, they're very well established in their fields. And most blog readers are really people in their 40s and 50s. I mean, they're not. There's this perception of blog readers as 20-somethings. Very few 20-somethings in the political blogs. They're too busy hanging out with music sites, trying to dating sites. People who are into political blogs are actually in their 40s and 50s and 60s.
Really? That would be a surprise. But you're saying, I guess it goes along with who tends to vote.
Absolutely. People who are interested in politics can afford to be interested in politics because all the other stuff is already taken care of.
on the Civil War, David Brooks, the conservative New York Times columnist, recently put you, Marcos, I think you in particular, on one side of the Democratic Party, and Mike Tomasky, editor of the Liberal American Prospect magazine, on the other. We had Tomasky here last week talking about this much-discussed new article he has in the May issue of American Prospect, and Brooks, from his perspective, praised Tomasky's article, which called for an end to narrow interest group politics, and which he said represents the Truman FDR common good Democratic Party. You, to him, represent a destructive radicalism. What did you think of the comparison? What do you think of Tomasky?
You know, it's funny because Tomasky and I have been working together, and we promote each other's work. So it's this notion that we're in different wings is absolutely ludicrous. The second chapter, third chapter of our book is actually on the issue groups and how destructive they are to the Democratic Party, this notion that we're going to stand individually as opposed to together as a broad movement. So Brooks is just buying into the hype and the misconceptions of what bloggers really stand for. If he had any clue about what we were doing, he would understand that Tomasky and I actually stand side by side on all these issues.
So when Tomasky wrote in his article, and I'm paraphrasing from memory here, that if he was a hypothetical or writing a speech for a hypothetical Democratic presidential hopeful for 2008, he would have them stand up and Jerome, I'll give this for you, since you're actually working for one of those hopefuls, Mark Warner, stand up and say to all the interest groups in the Democratic Party, we agree with your values, we agree with your issues, we are going to work for your causes, but you have to take a back seat sometime to the common good. Does that resonate with you if you're talking to groups of organized feminists or African Americans or environmentalists or gays and lesbians?
Resonates with me, and it resonates with Governor Warner as well, who has stood up with the orthodoxy groups. And in large part, the movements that have emerged this decade have been these multi-issue movement-focused groups like Democracy for America, Move On, has grown even larger this decade.
Multi-issue.
Not focusing on a single issue, but realizing we have a larger progressive agenda that will be realized if we can elect a Democratic majority.
Yeah, it's funny because that Tomasky piece, I praised it as soon as it came out. But, you know, if he thinks that I represent, if Brooks thinks I represent the issue group world, he clearly doesn't spend any time on Daily Coast, because I have many a wounds from my battles with NARAL and the National Organization of Women and the Sierra Club and the League of Conservation Voters and so on and so on and so on, because they're the, when we talk about insiders versus outsiders and movement versus issue groups, these issue groups are part of the establishment. They are very much ingrained in the current Democratic Party. They're part of the reason we are such a mess right now as a party.
My guests on WNYC talking Monday Morning Politics for this week, Jerome Armstrong and Marcos Melitza-Zuniga, authors of Crashing the Gate, Netroots, Grassroots, and the Rise of People-Powered Politics. They've created two of the most widely read liberal blogs, DailyCoast.com and MyDD.com. I want to ask you about John McCain. Some progressives at the New School here in New York and also at Columbia, where McCain is supposed to speak tomorrow, are protesting McCain's appearances, particularly as a commencement speaker at the New School later this week, because they say he is a right-wing politician using their school to burnish his credentials as a centrist. Have you heard about this issue, and do you support even inviting McCain to speak at the New School commencement, Marcos?
He just came from
Falwell's
event just recently.
Well, he's saying he wants to speak to all kinds of groups. That's his position.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, to me, it's a free country, and you know, if he's invited, that's great. To me, what's interesting is that people think that McCain is this, you know, centrist straight talker. He really isn't. He's become the biggest panderer this cycle. If people really want a straight talking conservative, I mean, they can look at Chuck Hagel, who really is a man of real conviction, and I'm not praising him as somebody who might be secretly liberal. He is not. He's very much a conservative. Chuck Hagel is, but he really is somebody of conviction. McCain, forget it. I mean, he's lost all notion of being a straight talker.
But on this question of common good politics, you on page 154 of your book, you quote from Mark Warner as an example of a Democrat willing to challenge Republicans in the South, and you quote him saying, quote, "I'll take we're all in this together over you're on your own," which he attributes to the Republicans, "any day." So here is John McCain from his commencement address yesterday at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University, and see what you make of this.
We have fought among ourselves before in our history over big things and small with worse vitriol and bitterness than we experience today. Let us exercise our responsibilities as free people, but let us remember we are not enemies. We are compatriots defending ourselves from a real enemy. We have nothing to fear from each other. We are arguing over the means to better secure our freedom, promote the general welfare, and defend our ideals. It should remain an argument among friends.
So, Marcos, you just said he's not a straight shooter. He makes it sound like he's at least a we're all in this together kind of guy.
Well, I mean, considering that he's talking at a, you know, Jerry Falwell University, and Falwell is one of the most intolerant people in American politics today, who has made a life out of crusading against people based on sexual orientation.
But if Falwell is an us versus them kind of guy, then maybe McCain going there and delivering that message is the kind of thing he should be saying at Liberty University.
Could be. It could also be pandering to a group that he sees completely necessary to a successful primary run in the Republican primaries.
Jerome, anything on that?
Well, he's got a strong past, and I think he's going to have a moment here of redefinition. There was a recent poll that came out that showed his approval rating among Americans is very low, like in the low 30s, and it's just a reflection of America is really ready to turn off all of D.C. and is looking for something very different. I don't really think John McCain fixed that.
One more clip. This is Dick Cheney's daughter, Mary Cheney, on Fox News Sunday, referring to the John Kerry campaign invoking her lesbianism during the campaign to use against the Bush-Cheney ticket.
They wanted to make sure that everybody who might have a problem with it knew that Dick Cheney had a gay daughter.
And why? What do you think of that?
I think it was a pretty sleazy thing to do.
Jerome, sleazy?
No. She's over the top. I mean, here she is using it for her book sales, and she's got a problem with somebody else announcing it when Cheney and Bush are obviously advocating positions in direct opposition to her lifestyle and her beliefs. I don't think so.
She said she supports the leadership, but not the Republican platform on the gay issue in particular. You said a minute ago, and we're almost out of time, but you said a minute ago, Jerome, that on behalf of Mark Warner or this, you know, Tomasky versus an alleged other wing of the Democratic Party discussion, that it would be good to say to interest groups that sometimes you need to sacrifice for the common good. What part of a gay agenda or any other interest group agenda do you think people might need to back down from right now?
I don't think it's really an issue of backing down. It's an issue of realizing that the Republicans are going to push a certain agenda, and the Democrats are going to have one as well. And so what we really look at is the broader picture of which agenda do you want? Which direction do you want in this country? So, you know, the Republicans are anti-gay. They're bigoted, many of them. And that's the agenda that they pursue. The Democrats were more inclusive.
But you're going to need to get – we just have 15 seconds left. But you're going to need to get specific about something if you're going to make that case about – common good, not interest group, right?
Yeah, no, the issue isn't let's trumpet the fact that we're for gay marriage from the top of every mountaintop, right? A lot of it is just a question of, you know what, we're with you. We don't need to sit there and advertise it in every venue. We're going to be with you. Just bear with us, and we'll talk about the things that most Americans agree on, which are things like economic prosperity, opportunity, and investing in our people and our country.
And that has to be the last word for today. Jerome Armstrong and Marcos Melitza-Zuniga have created the blogs MyDD.com and DailyCoast.com. Widely read, their new book is Crashing the Gate, Netroots, Grassroots, and the Rise of People Power Politics, published by Chelsea Green. You can go to their website, CrashingTheGate.com, and see a number of appearances they'll be doing in New York over the next few days. Thank you both very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.